You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive. First of all, I'm going to read a few things for you, and I just want to talk to you about, you know, this morning I talked about your actions and your deeds and your words, and your life being like words, being like speech, and you know, you hear the saying, you know, actions speak louder than words. And you know, what we say is so important, but it's also more than just what we say. Yeah, we need to have our lip lined up, you know, with the Word of God. We need to line it out, and we need to say the right things and speak the right things, but our actions and our deeds need to reflect the same thing that we're saying, the same thing that we're confessing. We need to be, you know, like Mom's mentioned before in times past when we're praying for rain. Pack the umbrella. You know, pack the umbrella. Expect it to come. Let your actions line up with your confessions and your prayers and you know, the what you're speaking forth. You know, you need to be walking that out. You know, and I love, you know, it talks about in Joshua, I think it's in Joshua, where he talks about how that everywhere your foot treads, he's giving it to you. Well, that entails us doing something other than saying, that's mine over there. That's mine. You know, that property over there is mine. It's where I'm walking. I'm having to do something. It's wherever I'm putting my foot. It's where I'm going. Okay, now I'm going here, and now this is all mine. And this is all mine. And this is all mine. So it's actions and words. I mean, we're speaking, we're confessing, you know, but it's actions. And our actions do speak loud. You know, I'm reminded of this all the time when you see little children that mimic their parents and their older siblings, and sometimes it's not good. You know, there's, you know, siblings getting to fight and argue and start hitting, and the little ones goes up and starts hitting, you know, and they're laughing. They think it's funny because they're hitting, you know, and then, oh, you can't hit. Don't do that. But they're imitating. You know, they're seeing this, and the actions. Your life is a witness not only to your family and to your children, if you have children, but it's a witness to those around you, and it's a witness to the world. And you don't realize, I mean, maybe you do at times, but, you know, I don't always think about it, but you don't realize how many lives you're touching with the way you live your life. And not people never even hear a word come out of your mouth, but they see your actions, and they see you, and they see God in you. They see the love of God in you. And that ministers to them, and that teaches to them, and that draws them and you know, pulls them to Christianity, or pulls them in, you know, to the love of God itself. So anyway, all right, so here we are, Hebrews 1. I'm going to start out, and this is, you know, this is nothing you've never, or nothing you haven't heard before, but it's all good stuff. And, you know, the one thing Amanda and I have talked about this too, I mean, the one thing that just amazes me constantly is how that one scripture in the Bible holds so much truth, and you can teach a message on, you know, healing and use a scripture. You can teach a message on actions, use the same scripture. You can teach a message on love, use the same scripture. There's just so many things that you can get out of one scripture, and the words are just rich like that. It's just full, because it's life. You know, it's this, the words that God gave us, this is life, you know. And the obviously the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us as we minister. So, you know, that's usually what happens whenever you find the scripture. And you're like, how'd that get in there? You know, I never saw it before. You probably read it a million times, but it just came alive to you in that one aspect, or that one vein, you know, that you're looking at it. So, anyway, just some of these scriptures you're going to see and know and be able to quote too. But hopefully they'll minister to you today. Good message on actions and so on and so forth. So here we go. Hebrews 11:1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past. Did I tell you where to turn? Hebrews 11:1. Okay. Hebrews 1:1. There's too many ones in there. I just want to, you know, multiply them out. So, too many ones. Oh, okay, Hebrews 1:1. Sorry. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. And now we know very well, if you've gone to this church long enough, that the real interpretation or translation of this should actually say, just doesn't make sense in our English language, but it should say, has in these last days spoken to us in Son. In Son. Okay, so verse 3, who being the brightness of the glory of his express image, everybody say image, of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, and it goes on some really good stuff there. And just when you get home, that's your homework. Read the rest of that chapter, or maybe the whole book, because it's really good. But let's jump back here. It says, has in his last day spoken to us in Son. Well, like I said, it doesn't translate well. You know, it's what it means is Jesus is how he communicates. In his Son, Jesus, now is how he's communicating to us. And let's look at something. Hold your place here, and if you want to, turn with me to John 1. We know these scriptures, and we quote them all the time. And I brought these out even Wednesday. See, I use these scriptures Wednesday to teach a different, completely different message. But in John 1, let's just look at something real quick. This is, you're going to love this. Everybody say, I'm going to love this. See, now you said it, and now we're going to actually do it. Okay, so you're going to smile, and you're going to go, ooh, yeah, oh, yeah. See, actions and words together. Here we go. All right. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, who was the Word? Jesus. We know this. This is easy stuff. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Good stuff. All the way down to verse 14. What does it say? The Word, who? The Word, Jesus. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And in, you know, verse 17, Dad always junctures these two together. You almost don't even realize there's a 15 and 16 if you listen to Dad quote these, because he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, his glory, the glory of the only one begotten by the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law came through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I have scripture captions that just are back to back, because there's no 15 or 16 in chapter 1, usually when Dad quotes it. But that's just because that's the way it skips down and keeps the same flow. But Jesus was the Word, and the Word became flesh. So, okay, now, this is very slightly technical, but it's very simple. Okay, so just stay with me for a minute. You know, Jesus was the Word. God spoke to us in times past. You know, he had the law and the prophets. He spoke to us. And, you know, a lot of the things that you see in the Old Testament are, they're talking about, in essence, they're talking about the coming of Jesus, and they look forward to the coming of Jesus, and when Jesus was going to save, or God was going to save his people through Jesus. And so Jesus was actually like a manifestation. He was a manifestation of the promises that God had given them, you know, all this time. So the word was in the beginning, obviously, and the Word was how God formed everything, but then now this Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And now, not only do we have Jesus, and obviously everything that he says throughout his life is written in red, and it was the Word. I mean, you know, that's kind of a basic thing to remember. You know, as soon as Jesus said something, it became Scripture. So that's pretty easy and basic. We know that. But Jesus' life, his life now, he was flesh. The actions that he did, his character, you know, his attitude towards people, towards situations, now, that is teaching us. That's how he's talking to us. He's not just saying things. He's not just ministering, or not just ministering through speech and through, you know, words. But Jesus' life is now a ministry to us. That's how God's teaching us. And who is our ultimate example? Jesus. All right. Now, and what does it say? And if you jump back over to Hebrews 1 again, Hebrews 1. It says there that Jesus was, I'm trying to get over there too real fast. All right, it says that who being the brightness, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory in verse 3, and the express image of his person. Jesus was a true reflection of God. Amen? He was the best picture we could get of God in word and in deed. Okay? You know, a lot of people had a real bad misinterpretation or visualization of who God was and what he wanted to do. they didn't think, you know, God wanted to love and God wanted to do that. They thought he was harsh and, you know, cruel and all these things. But Jesus comes along and now, oh, wait a second, now we see who God is through the deeds, through the actions, through the ministry of Jesus, not just his words, but also, you know, his deeds and his actions. So, and if you know, again, if you've gone here long enough, you'll hear Dad say, when it gets to the part there, it says his glory and the express image. That's the character of God, the stamp. He's the stamp. I mean, that's, you know, that's the seal. What, you know, a lot of times you see, you hear the story about how that, or the history of how kings and royalty or high positions, when they would send out letters or whatever they send out, you know, emails. When they would text people, there would be this stamp. You know, they would take and pour some candle wax and put their ring in it, you know, maybe stamp it. And you knew when you saw that represented the word of the king or the word of the, you know, whoever, the duke or the, whoever that was, you know, in position of authority there. Jesus was like God putting his stamp on everything that he did. You know, this is who I am, you know. And we see that too whenever you see the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, you have Jesus in the middle and you have Elijah and Moses. And whenever, you know, the guys finally woke up because they were all sleeping. And, oh, this is great. We'll build three temples. Well, what happens whenever they say that? Whoa, wait a second. These guys disappear and Jesus is left standing. He says, this is my son. Hear him. Okay, listen. This is the character. This is who I want you to follow. This is who I want you to imitate. And that's what Ephesians 5:1 says. We need to be imitators of God as dear children. Imitate, how do we imitate God? We imitate Jesus. We imitate the Word. We follow the actions that Jesus did, and we look at those things. We say, hey, you know what? I need to do this. I need to change this and do this. Because that I need to look like God. I need to act like Him and talk like Him. And so we need to be just like Jesus was. I tell you, turn to John 5. This is good stuff right here. John 5, and in verse... Let's look here. Let's look in verse 19, I guess. Most assuredly, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, verse 19, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Amen? Now, it's interesting, the words, the specific words here. It says that he can do nothing of himself. He can do nothing of himself, but what he sees. Doesn't say hear. Yes, God gave him instruction and he heard things. But it's interesting that just like a child mimics a father here on earth, Jesus was seeing things that his Father God did. And the actions that in his character and his attitude towards people and towards situations or whatever. And it says he did, not just said, not just heard his Father say to do these things. It wasn't just like, you know, a command being barked and ordered. It was his Father actually doing these things. And I think in my life, I know, and I'm sure a lot of other people are the same way, because I'm just, you know, I'm human. I'm just, my mind's reeling here. I'm just thinking, you know, I'm thinking, my thought process is kind of this way. You know, we kind of have this vision maybe of God, and he's just sitting up, he's sitting up on this throne. You know, here he is, and he's, you know, okay, you know, go do this, you know, he's just, you know, giving out orders, and here's commanding angels, and, you know, doing this, and, you know, and he's just sitting there not doing, actually doing anything, but really, our Father God, he has a compassionate heart. He's, you know, he must have been doing things for his Son Jesus to see, for Jesus to do those same things. So, I mean, you know, I think we need to get past this, you know, Father God sitting on the throne, not, you know, just, you know, doing this, you know. barking out orders, commands, go here, you know. No, he was a compassionate God. He was a compassionate Father, and he did certain things that Jesus saw him do. Skip down to verse 30. He kind of repeats the same thing. He says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. And so Jesus did the things that he saw his Father do. And something that, you know, I think that we as Christians need to get a hold of. We're going to have days where we're going to have opportunities. We talked about opportunities Wednesday. To return to, you know, maybe the past or the old, you know, the old ways of doing things. But we're going to have opportunities to not act the right way. I mean, you know, there's going to be days that come along where we have opportunities to not act the right way. But, you know, I'm reminded of the scripture in Hebrews 13:8, and it says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if we're supposed to be imitators of God as dear children, and Jesus was our perfect example, and Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever, what are we supposed to be like? We're supposed to be the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. So every day of our lives, we have to be cautious of what we're doing, what our actions are. And we have to, you know, we have to love. We have to, you know, we have to forgive. We have to give. We have to share. We have to bless. We have to minister. Take opportunities to help people, to bless other people when we get, you know, the chance to do that. And it's not, like I said, it's not just in words, but it's also in deeds. And our deeds will, they will speak volumes to people in their lives. I know many examples of, you know, just in my life, I have seen people that I didn't know personally, but I could tell the way they acted and the way they treated people and just by their actions, I know those. That guy's a Christian. You know that family's a Christian family, and people have come up to me and just, you know, worked in a warehouse and, you know, kind of a rough situation. You know, wasn't like the best, you know, church environment working conditions I could do here, but you know, working in this warehouse and a guy come up to me and you know, this guy, I knew he was maybe a little different than the other people. It wasn't like he was just living a loud Christian life. But he came up to me one day and he says, you go to church somewhere? I said, yeah, I go to church. I mean, my dad's a pastor at Willis Point. And he just said, man, I knew there was something about you. I knew there was something. But that's because he saw the way I acted. And me, the reverse, the same way. I saw he was just a little different than everybody else. And, you know, and you'll gravitate towards those type people. The people that are consistent. People that are like Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, the more that you're consistent in your life and your actions and deeds, living like you're trying to be like Jesus and being like God, you know, then those that will speak to people. Let's turn to James 1. This is a good one. Turn to James 1. I'll not going to turn to all these obviously because there's a ton of them, but there are so many times in the Bible that, you know, we're supposed to study the Bible. Because obviously we need to know what to do, know what to say, know what to believe. You know, this is our manual for life. This is how we're going to live. And there's tons of examples and, you know, people living their lives in here, obviously Jesus being the main one, but other people, Paul, you know, and, you know, Luke and other people living their lives in such a way that we could see examples that they give us in the Bible that we can mimic and try to live after. And then there's times, you know, we see in this Bible too that actually specifically says you need to observe, to do. And I just wrote this down. You know, just the phrase observe to do, and, you know, we see this in Deuteronomy, obviously, but also in Joshua 2, but in Joshua 1, Joshua also, Joshua 1, in addition to Deuteronomy. But in Deuteronomy, the word observe to do, and then, of course, Deuteronomy is when they gave it was the second giving of the law. It's when they gave the commandments again, and it talked about, you know, following after these commandments. But in Deuteronomy in chapter 6, and I'm just going to tell you the chapters. There's many scriptures in each chapter in some cases, but chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 15, 16, 17, 24, 28, 31, 32, the phrase "observe to do," talking about the commandments and the laws and the things that, you know, he would want you to do and live this way, act this way, do these things. Observe to do, observe to do. Don't just look at them. Don't just hear the word. Don't be, we're fixing to get to James 1:22 here. It says, don't be doers of, you know, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Don't just hear the word. Hear the word with the intent to do. With the intent to do. And I think one of the scriptures I brought out in Wednesday's message we talked about was, hear my son, talking. It was in a Proverbs 1. I can't remember the verse. But anyway, it's talking about, hear my son. You know, pay attention, incline the ear to my saying, hear, O son. But the hear was, hear, listen with the intent to do, to obey. So you know, when we observe the scriptures, when we observe, when we're looking and seeing the examples that are given in this Bible, we don't need to be doers of the word. I mean, we don't need to be hearers of the word only. We don't also just need to be seers of the actions that Jesus did. We need to be doers of that. Hearers of the word, but be doers of it, not just hearers only. And that's what it says here in James 22. I didn't even turn there, but you know the scripture. It says, we'll just read it again. And you know, we'll stay there, 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And this is such a great example. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. You know, I think that's, you know, a lot of cases, either, you know, maybe we're just too busy. Maybe we haven't prioritized, and that, you know, I'm guilty of that. That, you know, I don't set my priorities just right, where I spend enough time to study the Word and study the Bible. But the Bible is, it's just like it says here. If we don't do the Word when we hear it, if we don't do the Word when we observe, you know, this action, it's like we see what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to change, and our hair needs to be parted and fixed here, and, you know, a little smudge right there. You know, oh, it didn't shave good on this side, you know, whatever. And then I need to do that. And I walk away and I forget everything that I just saw, you know, and I think I'm okay. You know, I've been guilty. How many of you have been guilty of doing something similar to that, like that? And I mean, I'm talking actually going to the mirror. Okay, I need to brush my hair, and, you know, the phone ring or something. Okay, I need to fix that. Okay, and then I go away and I forget, and I get it partly through the day, and I go, oh man, I never even brushed my hair today, you know. Or I forgot to brush my teeth, you know. I had the toothbrush laid out, and I walk out, and I forget to brush my teeth, you know. You know, that's what it's talking about. If you don't see that and change it right, it's just like hearing the Word of God and telling you, hey, you know what? Man, you need to love more. You need to forgive more. You need to be nicer to people. I'm gonna get to that, you know, and just turn around and just forget everything, all the instruction that you need to do. And so we don't need to do that. We need to be doers of the Word, amen? Not just hearers only. Turn to turn two passages of Scripture here, and then we're going to close out. We turn to Philippians 4, and these are the ones I want to read to you in the Message translation too. These are really good. I just thought that it ministered to me whenever I read this and this other, and just like many of them say when they read these things in different translations, because it brings out different points and aspects of it. Sometimes it's not always good. There's a lot of times it's not always good. You have to be careful. Make sure it lines up within the mouth of two or three witnesses there, you know. Sometimes they don't always get it just right on the translations. But anyway, Philippians 4, and I'll read it to you in the New King James first, and then we'll read it here in this Message translation as well. But Philippians 4, in verse 8, it says, you know, well, Philippians 4 has a lot of good stuff in it. So you need to make, that's your next homework assignment, is read Philippians 4. Because there's lots of good things in there. But in Philippians 4, 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, think on these things. You know, that's what needs to be in your mind and in your spirit all the time. Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and, what's it say? saw or seen, you have seen in me. The things that you learned, received, heard, and saw in me, these do. Do these things. And this is Paul. He's talking to church at Philippi here. He said, look, you saw me come through your city, and you saw all the things that I did and how I ministered or how I acted, or, you know, and you heard me teach the word. You heard me give examples and you know, speak out of, you know, truths that we know. But you saw me doing some things. You saw some actions that I had, you know, that were taking place while I was with you guys. And I was, you know, and Paul, I know, you have to know that Paul, through his writings, was a changed man. And he did everything, I believe, he did everything possible to represent the Jesus who saved him as best he could in word and in deed through his life as well. You can just tell it by the sacrifices he made to preach and to teach and to travel and go all over the world, or, you know, his known world then, to minister to these different churches and to different people. And so, you know, I can imagine that Paul, you know, wasn't just, I mean, living his life at the best of his ability to live like Jesus and like this Father God that, you know, gave him salvation, you know, saved him from a what was going to be a miserable life and a miserable ending of his life too, you know. So he's saying, look, you saw me do these things. You saw me say, or heard me say certain things, and you saw me doing certain things. The things that you saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And let's read this in the Message translation, then we'll have one more and we'll close this out. In the Message translation, it says, finally, my brethren... Oh, sorry. Reading it in the New King James Version again. Okay, it says, summing it all up. I like that. So, hey, just summing this, to sum up this whole message today, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. We need to think on things to praise, not to bring down and tear down people. We need to encourage and build up, to praise people. Amen. All right, not to curse. Put into practice. Oh, this is good. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. Isn't that good? Isn't that really good? When you do those things, God will make He makes everything work together, will work you into the most excellent harmonies. How many of you listen to music and listen to harmonies? I know Mr. Ron here has an ear for four-part harmonies and things. In fact, has even dreamed of certain songs done in just multiple, you know, harmonies. And it's, you know how beautiful harmony is to listen to? When the voices are just, the notes are just right, they just mesh right together, and it makes the most beautiful sound and the most glorious sound. And whenever you do the word, whenever your actions are reflecting Jesus, you're working together with all these other people acting like Jesus, and you're making this beautiful harmony, this beautiful, you know, creation that God made for us to enjoy, to minister to. We're working together, and it's just like a wonderful harmony that He's putting us together with, you know, other people, and doing this. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, the way I think about it. He's working us into the most excellent harmonies. Amen. All right, and in closing, let's turn to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. And this one, again, I'd like to read in both versions. So I'll read this to you real quick in the New King James. It says, and we'll just start in verse 11. These things, real quick, you know, Timothy was, Paul writes to Timothy. He's a young minister that he's is in Ephesus, and he's got a challenge, you know, to pastor or teach and lead this, you know, congregation that's in Ephesus, or the people there at Ephesus. And he's writing this to him to encourage him to, you know, build him up and give him some instruction and so on and so forth. And so here we go. Verse 11 of chapter 4 says, these things command and teach. And you know, this is kind of neat too, because this is what I'm doing right now. I'm taking a command and teaching. And this is what Timothy did to hit the people there. And this is what you can do. You know, you can take this and command and teach, you know, teach these things. Okay, so these things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth. And I am very young. I'm still, I mean, y'all don't realize, I'm just a young guy. But be an example. Oh, goodness gracious. We have to be examples? Yes, we do. We have to be examples. Be an example to the believers in word. What's the next one say? In conduct, in deeds, yeah, in conduct. In love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We need to be examples in conduct. In conduct, the way, not just in words, but in conduct also, okay? Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Whenever Timothy was with Paul before, they actually prayed over Timothy, anointed him, you know, to go out and teach, you know. If you read a little bit of the history of where, you know, how Timothy came into play, how they kind of picked him up in a city and brought him in. They, you know, he was a young guy that really liked him, so they started, you know, Paul took him in and sent him off to Ephesus here. But anyway, so he was, you know, his gift was given to you. Now, we're all gifted to minister and teach, right? Everybody say, I'm a minister. Because we have the salvation of Jesus in our lives. We have an example of our own lives that we can share. And if that alone is all we had, we have the ability to witness to people and share to them the love of God. We have a personal experience with our Savior, our Father God. So we're all ministers, amen. But it says here, verse 15, meditate on these things, give yourselves or yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. This is something, too, again, evident, talking about people seeing how you're progressing. Timothy, if you'll do these things, you know, Miss Betty, if you'll do these things and you'll you know, be an example in conduct and word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity, it's going to be evident to all the progress in your life because people are going to see that inside you. All right? And it's just, you know, that's, it could be to anybody. To Rachel, Dr. Galloway, Jennifer. I mean, it could be anybody. He's saying, look, it's going to be evident to all if you'll meditate on these things and do them in conduct, in word, in spirit, in truth. Okay, so anyway, it's going to be evident to all, outward, you know, your life speaking to people. All right, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You will save yourself and those who hear you. So it's not just about telling you, you know, I'm going to do this. I believe this and I believe this. But we've got to put actions with those words. We've got to put actions with the confessions that we're making. Okay, in closing, we'll read this in the Message translation. And we'll turn over there real quick. Almost there. I got to upgrade the operating system on this thing. It's slow. Okay. Here we go. 4:11. Let me make sure I start on the right side of the page here. All right. Verse 11, it says, okay, get the word out. Teach all these things. Do not let anyone put you down because you're young, and I don't. It didn't bother me at all that I'm a young guy. Teach believers with your life. Whoa. Teach believers with your life. Not just the words you say. Teach them with your life. By word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post reading scripture, giving counsel, teaching. And that special gift of ministry that you were given when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed, keep that dusted off and in use. Wow. Keep it dusted off and in use. Don't let dust collect on the ability to minister, that gift you have to minister to people, not just with your words, but with your life, with your actions. Keep that thing used. Keep the dust off of it. Don't just set it in a corner. Amen. Cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes. Keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear you will experience salvation. Man, is that not good? I mean, you're affecting people. You are affecting people in the direction of salvation and bringing them into salvation by living your life the right way. I mean, but not just by saying the right things. Not just by saying, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe God. You know, sent His Son, raised from the dead. And yeah, I believe that, and I'm going to go to heaven, you know. Not just saying those things, but by living your life like that. Okay, living your life like you love people. You know, the two greatest commandments was that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. And then the second one was to love your neighbor as yourself. To love. And those two commandments, it says, all the law and the prophets, everything that you do, like the demonstration of the ministry, I can't remember what minister it was that shared this, but it's like having these curtains. Love is the rod that holds the curtains up. Okay, everything hangs on love. Who was Copeland? Okay, Copeland ministered along those lines. And it's just like, you know, if you don't have love, I think you mentioned how you just, it's like being, you have all this, yeah, you have the all the strings and the curtains, draperies, whatever, they're all just tangled up and there's just no order and if it doesn't have the rod to hang them on, it can't get loose, you know, it doesn't make sense, it's a confusion, but you have the rod that love, that ties everything together and it puts everything in order. When we love people. And so, you know, that's probably obviously it's the greatest commandment here. That's probably the biggest thing, that if you'll live life of love, the other things will just fall in order. Amen. And your life will affect people and your life will speak to people and it'll be the best words unspoken to bring them into salvation. Amen. To yourself and to those who hear you, those that are around you and see you.